This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. This is the 8th Billy Ripping Podcast, your weekly AW review and breakdown. Introducing first and most electrifying host in all of Ripping Show Wrestling Podcast, Gnarly Charlie.
Garrett,
let's go!
Exactly. Oh, and the other half of our host, they do. They call me the Duke. They call me the Digital Phantom. I am the Duke of Derps, also known as Garrett. Yo, 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 yo.
Garrett, man, what a week of wrestling we have following up last week. And
exactly. Yeah. How are you going to follow? How are you going to follow last week up and just make things sound even more just ridiculous? Like, the floodgates have officially been opened and Wheeler Yuta has arrived, Charlie.
Our boy.
I think it's safe to say probably the strongest of our four pillars at this point.
Yeah. And Wheeler Yuta, man, it's been a trend, and we'll dive into this fairly quickly.
Continue my metaphor further. I would say he definitely reinforced his status as the strongest pillar this week too, that we've established. To stroke my own ego there with that metaphor. But anyway,
I love it.
Anyway, yeah, no, there was so much good stuff. We're going to kind of run through Dark relatively quickly. We're not going to do it right now. We actually didn't even discuss when, but I guess we'll just do things in the normal order that we would. Before we get into that, though, and before we get into favorites, there's a few orders of business that I want to take care of off the top of this show, the first of which being whatever podcast platform you are listening to us on today. Make sure you follow and or subscribe to make sure you keep up with all of the latest information from the show, as well as make sure you get the show in your feed every week so you don't have to go looking for it. As well,
yeah, we appreciate those five stars.
Exactly. 5-star Frog Splash review. And you know, if you have any questions in there, we'll be scanning those to see if you guys have anything you want to ask on the show or anything like that. As well as make sure you follow us on social media. You can follow me on Twitter at Bane Duke. That's BaneDuke. You could also find Charlie on Twitter with it at OCharlie with an X instead of an A. I almost got through all of that without stumbling. God damn it. Anyway.
Hey, it's all there, brother.
And now I believe with all that out of the way, it is time to hit our favorites, which I believe you are going to grace us with yours. And as we were just speaking about our beautiful boy, Wheeler Yuta, that is just fitting.
Absolutely, man. And whether it's the match, whether it's the buildup, the story after, there's so much to talk about. And the match, of course, is the main event of Rampage where Jon Moxley defeated Wheeler Yuta, but it's much more than that. Garrett, the match itself was just unbelievable. We were kind of hearing some wind since Rampage was taped. Like, hey, guys, I know that tag match was great, but it wasn't even the best match of the night. And I remember thinking, like, there's no fucking way. I mean,
I saw the same headline that you're talking about like, there's no. I mean, I love Wheeler. There's absolutely. And I remember seeing the headline, "A Star Was Born." And I was
and
no fucking way there's actually a better match on this night.
And that headline came from Mr. Tony Khan himself, who after the match, as he does closing every show, it's off TV, but he goes out there to the crowd, mm-hmm. He grabbed Wheeler Yuta's hand, lifted it in the air.
You can actually find footage of that, by the way, sometimes.
And a star is born. And yeah, I love Tony Khan, man. He was so excited about it. And first, let's talk about the match. This was fucking brutal, dude. This was a bloody ass match.
Let's do what the match did. Let's start where it started. He jumped Mox immediately through the ropes, which was an incredible spot because it's out of nowhere. And, you know, I was like, bro, someone's got to do something with this. Mox has this weird entrance. And someone finally did. There we go. Yeah. So he comes in a weird way. Well, I'm going to take advantage of that because this guy's not going to be expecting it. I don't even know if that was planned. I'm sure it was, obviously. But, you know,
and it's just he got himself the advantage early, which This is kind of all coming from the revenge in a way. I they really haven't touched it. Maybe because they don't want to yet, because I don't know, maybe they went a completely different direction with Mox's character. But Moxley beat Yuta in about 90 seconds in qualifying to face, I believe it was either Kenny or Hangman. And
well, actually,
so Mox beat him in literally like 90 seconds.
Let's just include, normally we wouldn't do this, guys, we would consider them two separate segments, but let's go ahead and include the pre-match promo from Rampage in this, because they did actually mention it in that. And I actually, I really, really enjoyed what we got from Yuta promo-wise in that little segment. He sounded really convincing, and then Moxley just sounded like a killer on the other end. Like, he just didn't even care. He was like, it's not my responsibility to respect you. And I was just like, no way, that's the story we're going with and here.
Yuta is sporting the Crimson Mask early. I mean, it was pretty much the entire fight, right? He was all bloody. And Garrett, the paradigm shift doesn't get kicked out of.
It literally doesn't. It's one of the most protected moves in AEW. Wheeler the only Yuta, more protected move might be the One Winged Angel.
Yeah, and Wheeler Yuta fucking kicked out of it twice. And I think that is the perfect story to tell that they've been going for. He wants to earn these guys' fucking respect, his blood, all of it, man. And this was just so special, dude. And the crowd was so into it. If this is the third week in a row, I feel like I've been saying the Wheeler Yuta stock is going up, but Garrett, the Wheeler Yuta stock is fucking, it's
through the roof.
It's through the roof. Perfect term. And he officially,
as Cameron Grimes would put it, it's to the moon.
He has joined the Blackpool Combat Club. He wrote BCC on his chest. He got the handshake from Regal with blood. Yes. That's fucking good, dude. Oh man. Moxley locked in the Bulldog Choke for the win, which is the proper move thereafter. I mean, the guy's pretty much dead, so. Oh, my God. The paradigm, the death rider, the bull angle choke, the bulldog choke. Just so good. And we have our newest member of the Blackpool Combat Club. And when we talk about homegrown talent, Wheeler Yuta is 100% seen as an AEW guy. He's been wrestling elsewhere for a little bit, but he is now going to see his career take new heights. Garrett, what else do you got from this? I mean, this is just, I feel like we can't put this over enough, right?
I mean, you nailed the things. Like, you said a lot of the things that I wrote in my notes. Like, one of the things I wrote in my notes was Yuta was just incredible in this match. He had, like, this chemistry with Mox. I don't think anybody recognized that he was going to have, it's even after their second match. Because it felt more like a New Japan match where, like, you just put two guys against each other and it doesn't really matter if their styles match up. They're just going to put on a good match because that's what people want to see. But, like, this was just, no, actually their styles did actually come together in a way that was interesting. And I got to be honest with you. I think this meant more because when Yuta bled, we hadn't seen blood. I don't believe a profuse amount of blood since Baker versus Rosa. And that felt, I felt that here, you know?
I did too. And
you know what? I think that Tony Khan finally learned that lesson. I really hope so anyway, because even though we're going to talk about the Blood and Guts announcement, I hope that this is not just like a sign of that to come and that we're actually starting to take it a little more seriously so that an event like that can feel like a lot more brutal and, you know, potentially dangerous.
And that being said, I got to give you credit for something you pointed out last week, which was we had not seen Wheeler Yuta's entrance on AEW. It was always the best friend's entrance if he ever got one. And Garrett, he got his fucking entrance this week.
And you know what? It worked so well for him. The crowd was into it. I mean, as soon as they heard the song,
they were so behind him. Yo, shout out the Boston crowd, man. From the first match of the night, Adam Cole versus Christian, to the last match of the night, Wheeler Yuta versus Jon Moxley. Fucking incredible. Incredible job.
Boston wrestling fans, by the way, not traditionally easy to please. Like, you can look at the history of WWE shows that went wrong there. It's not an easy wrestling crowd to please all the time.
So, Garrett, what was your favorite of this week?
All right, you guys know, there is one tag team on AEW's roster that I always talk about as being the best tag team in the world. It's not even a question. You know, they've been with the company since basically the beginning. And ever since then, they've I think, been fighting to get people to understand that they are actually the best tag team in the world. FTR took on the Young Bucks for the second time on Dynamite this week. And anyone that thought this wasn't going to main event a show, even if there was like a title defended on this show, I think this, I mean, obviously this was a title match, but I think non-title, even with a title match on the show, this still goes over that match on the card. Just in my opinion, because it's that big of a match. So first of all, this match, we should say, was for both the Ring of Honor and the AAA Tag Team Championships. Which
gold on the line,
unprecedented,
baby.
By the way, we've never seen two tag team titles defended like this. Like, I don't think, unless you consider the AAA and AEW, but I mean, that was kind of just like, it was kind of a baked in there defending both kind of thing with the Lucha Bros, you know, like this felt different to me because they were two. It was weird. We had the main event of Dynamite was kind of weird. That was the main event of Dynamite was two other tag team championships from two other companies being defended, but whatever, it's 2022, who cares?
And it's the current state of AEW, man.
Exactly. But also, it also makes sense that the Young Bucks will want to try and steal everything away. So in storyline, it makes sense. It's just kind of, it does sound kind of silly when you say it like that. But at the same time, they literally are the two best tag teams in the world. I think that's not even really in question for a lot of people.
To this day, never seen the Young Bucks have a bad match. It's my favorite thing to say.
I would have to go back through some of those matches they had at the Indies. But anyway, to find one. But anyway, this was super hard hitting. I actually thought that this match, even though they didn't do as much like insane stuff, right? I thought this match was somehow crazier than the match that they had with the Briscoes like a few days prior. And when you find out that Dax is actually injured during this match, it's even more crazy. You know, like, not during the match, but, like, he's not 100% when this match starts. Like, and so you just, like, the hot tag in this match, I think, is the hottest tag they've ever had on AEW.
Oh, my God, dude. It was so good.
Like, FTR are baby faces right now, whether yes. people want them to be or not. Like they could go out there and they could literally set the ring on fire and people would cheer for the ring to be
that's
burned.
Why I'm not like, mad they're kind of fast tracking them leaving the Pinnacle. It needs to happen.
Absolutely.
Is because they're in such a beautiful spot right now.
And man, part of me knows that this is probably not the way that it's going to go, but I saw something on social media that made me really, really interesting. Oh, before I get to that, though, I want to say there was a really incredible moment when I thought the match was over, and then somebody put their foot on the rope.
Oh, and I was like, I know Cash. You popped yep. for that. When Cash got that guy put on the rope after the BTE trigger.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, this match is literally never going to end. I thought they were literally just going to go for like the next hour. They were just going to eat the next show and say, you know what, Tony will pay the fine, you know, like.
Tony will pay the fine.
And so, but what I was getting at, I kind of lost my train of thought. Do you know where I was going before?
You brought up social media. I was unfamiliar where you were going.
Oh, the social media. Sorry. So someone pointed out that what they want the men's Owen tournament to end on is Dax versus Cash. And the winner is the one that ends up being picked by Brett. And I thought to myself, yeah. If they book them as champions, as babyfaces right before that, and they go into that tournament, having qualified separately, and then they slowly start to break them apart, I think that could be one of the most heartbreaking storylines in the history of wrestling.
Yeah, in a year from now, maybe I would like that. But I love what they're doing right now, and I can't wait to see the story progress. But I think they're going to use that tournament as just a spotlight for so many of these other guys too, which we'll get into that tournament a little bit. I'm actually excited about that, but I'm with you, man.
What if one of them just like didn't qualify, and that started to break, like plant the seeds of them breaking up potentially? Ooh,
yeah. I mean, especially after that Dax match with Punk, dude, he was so good. And
either one of them could go on a run in the Owen and still like, and then lose in the finals. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see why that couldn't happen.
Yeah. But I gotta say, this match, man, the storytelling of it was incredible. These were just such smart tag teams. And everything they did in the ring, none of them went out of their way to look dumb. Whether it's the ref distraction, how perfectly they executed it, the, like you said, the hot tag to Dax. I thought Dax, when he got those hot tags, man, oh my God. The big rigs, the opposites of the BTE triggers. I mean, it was just so good. And the way it finally ends is the Young Bucks get hit with the BTE trigger. They get the kisses. And then Cash covers Matt for the 1-2-3. And just so fucking good. And I well-deserved of a favorite this week. I think we had two matches that, when it's all said and done for Dynamite and Rampage this year, at the end of the year when they do their best TV matches of the week, I think for sure these are going to be in that conversations of the top tens and whatnot. They're going to be up there. Just like I think to this day, the Hangman and Lance Archer match, I think that match was really solid for a especially for a TV match. So good. And these, I think
I still go back to that match was the perfect length. It used the perfect amount of weapons, and it ended in a way that nobody was expecting with the flip off the ref.
I think potentially, if we don't have two of the top 10, I guarantee you we have two of the top 10 here. We might have two of the top 5 in the same night. So just incredible wrestling.
It's just, it's crazy what they're able to, it's crazy that they were able to put on the fucking absolutely insane main event that they were able to put on for Dynamite. And then they were able to follow that up with literally, I mean, immediately that match ended and then Trent versus Danielson started.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
What a show to be at. So
yeah, imagine being at this taping.
That's our favorites of the week. So real quick, we're going to hit some news as we like to do. Then we'll get you the results from each show and we'll preview a little bit of next week. So real quick, the news, I'll take us through that. Layla Hirsch, she wrestled before this week's Dynamite and she appeared to get injured. So we don't know the severity of the injury yet, but we do know the match was kind of canned. So I'm very curious if they're going to play that up on Elevation this next week.
If they take like a cut of it and like show that she got hurt, but like not show her getting hurt, like because remember when they did that before and then they showed the person getting hurt, it was a little tough because that person kind of got buried out of it a little bit.
You know how they show Big E getting hurt in WWE 15.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Times. They'll show that was such a brutal injury, man. I can't believe that.
Shout out Big E.
That man is lucky to be alive. Like,
so Blood and Guts, which is AEW's version of the War Games match. It appears to be returning in just a few months. AEW owner Tony Khan revealed the news in an interview with ESPN Friday, saying expected to return this summer. And Garrett,
Tony,
who? Oh shit, Tony! And I don't think we're fools to say. I think this is a little obvious what this match is going to be, and it's going to time out perfectly. And that's going to be the Jericho Appreciation Society 5 versus the 5 we have in the Blackpool Combat Club.
It's got to be right.
And I fully expect this to be the match we're all looking forward to this summer. I think this is going to be the summer feud, like non-title, and I think it's going to be the most fun. That being said, that leaves the door open for FTR to go win the actual AEW tag team titles too. So
beautiful. I
want to keep an eye on that.
Triple champions.
They got to get those AAA belts are fucking hideous. I respect to the company, but my God. Anyways.
Yeah, though they did some new championships.
The relationship between AEW and New Japan is taking another step forward. It was announced on Friday that the weekly episodes of AEW Dynamite and Rampage will be coming to New Japan World in Japan soon. This announcement indicated a Japanese live version of the AEW programming is also being planned. The AEW content is being added at no additional cost to New Japan World subscribers. Garrett, this is more proof. This relationship.
Start watching the Japanese feed of Dynamite.
This relationship is only getting stronger. And we're seeing it more and more. We saw Kenta last year. We saw the United States Championship wrestled on this show. And Garrett, I got to say, because I don't even know if you've seen this yet. A current member of the New Japan roster commented on this. And that man was Hiroshi Tanahashi. And he said he wants to wrestle CM Punk because he knows that that would make waves across the entire world. And oh my God, give me Hiroshi Tanahashi versus CM Punk.
I remember us, like, when we would talk about, like, dream matches, like, if we could book anybody, like, from any era, when CM Punk wasn't a wrestler that you could book in matches for dream matches anymore for a while, you know? And I remember that being one of the ones that I had in my head, because what match did we watch that had Tanahashi in it? I can't even remember, but
maybe Okada? Maybe
possibly.
Ichi? I mean, yeah. Omega.
Either or. I mean, we might have watched both, honestly. We were watching New Japan everything for a good while there. But I mean, like,
that was our only alternative. That was like great. Felt like
literally, no, like this is like pre Jericho going to New Japan era, I think. So it like just, or at least pre them all being aligned as company wise. But anyway, like I mean, like, it's crazy to think that like when AEW launched, like New Japan was kind of pissed because they robbed a lot of their talent of them, you know? And also tried to establish this sort of Ring of Honor deal, which felt like really weird to, you know, New Japan because they just done a deal with Ring of Honor, you know? And you know, it's just good to see that they've smoothed things over at this point.
Exactly. This is best for business.
Absolutely.
I could love it. Oh man. Authority. So Garrett, if you want to take us through Dark Elevation this week.
Yeah. Somehow Dark Elevation, and explain this one to me, Charlie, was longer than Dark this week.
Yeah, at least Dark Elevation, it's got a different vibe since it's in front of that crowd, right? But I don't know, man. Maybe they went a little longer. Maybe they shot some more. South Carolina. I actually like how Elevation ended.
Well, South Kakilaki. Anyway, as Paul White likes to say, he's probably going to bury me for saying it like that. All right, anyway. he's not going to mention me. All right. Anyway, so Dark Elevation episode 57, opening up with shout outs again to Layla Hirsch. Get better soon. Getting a squash with the running knee. That's probably the last I would assume we're going to see of her for a little while on Dark.
Yeah,
probably, unfortunately.
Damn, man.
Yeah, it just sucks, you know, because she was on a really, really hot run and
had a fucking, you know, pay-per-view win.
Literally, you know, won her feud that no one thought she was going to win. Like, you know, yeah,
definitely. I mean, I didn't think so.
I mean, it didn't seem like they were booking her in a way that she was going to. And, you know, that's probably why we haven't seen Chris Statlander since. But, well, we have, but haven't really. All right, anyway, match number two. But, yeah, she got that. She picks. I like that she uses that running knee, by the way.
Same.
And match number two, we had Broccoli. That is Brock Anderson and Lee Johnson taking on the Factory. Was this, like, the hottest crowd for Dark ever, by the way? Like, they were, like, going nuts. The
crowd was into it, man. South Carolina was popping. I was digging it.
They were in Orange Country, man. It was crazy. And Brock still hitting a nice spine buster, picks up the win. Deeb continuing to kill jobbers, wins with a Serenity Lock. That was match three. Batch number four, Frankie Kazarian picking up a squash. I love Frankie. Wins with the crossface chicken wing. Red Velvet, heel Red Velvet, picks up a win in match number five. the Dark tapings are starting to lose me, man. I'm sorry. And she gets the squash with the Just Desserts. Again, I don't know what's happening with the continuity at this point, Charlie. It's completely out the window. Speaking of continuity, Anthony Henry is back to join with JD Drake and the Workhorsemen. So part of me thinks they actually filmed all these Workhorsemen matches before JD Drake was actually a part of the Wingmen. And that's what happened here. And that's why Anthony Henry had never been mentioned before and all of a sudden just showed up one week on Dark, you know, like,
and it's
but
like,
whatever.
Yeah.
They took on the Best Friends. Drake and Henry are like the new, like, they're kind of like the new Buried Country, right? Like, they're just, they get beaten by everybody and they can wrestle. So, they won't
be
strong
a little bit,
zero.
Man. Former, 205 Live guy, Anthony Henry.
Yeah. I guess if you're a former 205 Live guy, you can't actually be signed. It's just, you can only, unless you're like, unless you're one of the guys that actually made it to TV.
Literally that entire era that just, they fucking ran that brand and now they all run GCW and shit. Like, good for them.
Exactly. Absolutely. And in the main, no, sorry, not the main event, the co-main event of Dark Elevation this week, we had Ruby Soho and Anna Jay. Still the weirdest. I don't know. You know, I'm convinced that they're literally just trying to distance Anna Jay from Ty Conti at this point. I'm convinced. Like, taking on Diamante and Ashley Diambois, who has the weirdest to pronounce name of all time. And
man, I love watching her wrestle. That's all I'll say.
Ruby hits the Destination Unknown, which might be the actual worst name for a finisher I've ever heard, to win the match.
Destination!
Anyway, Remix Jones here. Remix Jones invading our podcast now. All right, anyway. Guy must. Does anyone pay that guy anyway? And then Paul White burying young talent in the main event. All right.
Oh, hey, that was for fun. Come on.
It's Paul White burying the young boys. Anyway,
I kind of liked it, man. But hey, man, you know what? Shout out Paul White. I'm just glad he's not wrestling
Paul White ruining AEW Elevation commentary every week. No,
God damn it. All right, so let's head over to Dark, Garrett, where it was taped January 15th. And this is Dark episode... I'm not sure if you have...
137.
But yeah, guys, taped January 15th. So... just clearly real quick, AEW doesn't give a fuck about Dark, so why should we? Moving on. No, just kidding.
You're right, though.
Someone
like,
else,
would we care?
Yeah, right? Someone else who I love to look at, Ryan Nemeth. He was
absolutely
in there. He got a win over Chandler Hopkins. Hollywood Hunk. You know, since this was taped January 15th, we don't have an idea, but I'd like to imagine this guy's been getting over a little more with BTE, so I'm curious.
I would have to think. He's been doing that stuff for a while. He does this every now and then where, like, when he's about to get on TV, they'll give him, like, 10 weeks in a row of BTE
and
segments.
I thought BTE 300, he was great in it. Like, that was the perfect amount of him that he needed to be. And so
I just love I love that he has no qualms.
No.
With what they'll tell him, like, make yourself look like the biggest idiot ever. And he'll be like, do I have to? And they'll be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Like, so we had a couple quick squashes. Sonny Kiss, who hasn't been on TV in over a year, picks up a squash. Abaddon picks up a victory.
Wait, but I don't want to dwell too much. What the fuck was that finish?
An axe kick to the midsection, got the three count. I don't know.
Does that jobber watch Sonny Kiss matches? Like,
is that, you think he didn't mean to?
It didn't sound like he meant to on commentary.
Yeah, that's true. Abaddon, hey. I mean, Abaddon's Abaddon, right? The Black Dahlia got the pin. Tiger Ruaz and Cesar Bononi, old tag team in NXT, like early NXT, they picked up a victory. I mean, look, they're looking good.
Actually, would be okay with that tag team if you wanted to. Like,
yeah, I'm cool if they want to run with it and maybe build them up because they're both,
he
I want to say Brazilian
with,
and
yeah,
and,
no,
or South American.
He kind of could fit with the wingman. He's not like super pretty, but he doesn't need to be. You know,
they should
like,
can.
It's
the
not
wingman.
Like JD Drake's like a looker. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, so.
I thought they had a really cool backbreaker running knee combo, and it was pretty sweet. And Bononi giving Ruaz another pump handle slam. So, yeah, Lance Archer won a match. Yeah. So, and we also had the Dark Order, which was 5, 10, and negative 1. So what is that? Does that equate to 14?
Yeah, that's what I say. It's
14?
It's 15 minus 1.
15 minus 14. 1. They defeated Aaron Solo and Nick Camarado. Yo, shout out Aaron Solo for getting the a shout out from Cody Rhodes on WWE program this week. That
yeah,
was pretty random.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, this match was
it was
all right. Yeah. What do you got?
I'm just gonna read verbatim what I put in my notes for this match.
Oh God.
Dark is so boring these days. Like, what the fuck? Addendum to that: negative one is more entertaining than Aaron Solo.
Damn, bro. Woo-hoo! Yo, Aaron Solo needs to get the fuck out of this team.
Yeah, we've been saying it for a while. I like Nick Camarado, too. It's not his fault. It's definitely not QT Marshall's fault. He's trying.
Yeah.
Man, that stretch me with you can comment just set him back so far.
And honestly, I kind of hope maybe Solo could be the next one for the Combat Club. Maybe they could really turn up his character a lot, you know?
It does feel like the fact we are looking for something right now, so that could be something interesting.
Yeah, so
I like that idea.
That'll do it
yeah,
for
Aaron Solo, man. I'm sorry, I had to do it to you.
Had to do it to you, man. Shout out negative one though.
Absolutely, negative one's gonna be a star one day. That kid has charisma.
He really does, and that's pretty cool. So let's jump into Dynamite, Garrett. And we started off Dynamite with Adam Cole versus Christian Cage, and we both kind of alluded to it. Oh my God, this crowd was hot.
Yes, so hot. I think it's because they knew what kind of card they were getting, man. It's like we knew going into this week, we were so excited for this week of Dynamite because coming out of last week, you know, it wasn't like bad. It just wasn't like spectacular. We'd been coming off a couple of weeks in a row leading up to and post Ring of Honor where we were just like, where are we going? You know, like we don't quite know, you know, he's trying to figure out Ring of Honor first. And I don't blame him for that, but it did make AEW television feel a little, you know, stale there for a little bit.
That being said, I really loved the pace of this match.
Yeah.
This took about the first 20 minutes of the show, and they actually shot a commercial break in between here, because I think that alluded to our main event. Usually Dynamite, we don't get a commercial break here, but it was goodly timed.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd, man, they made me more into it. I just think Adam Cole and Christian Cage, this is something that could be pretty fun.
Yeah, in 2022, that match on paper doesn't always, you know, sound amazing, but they made it work. Oh, one thing I will say, Bryce Rensburg just watched somebody cheat and it was okay, but whatever.
Don't like seeing that. And Adam Cole got the win with the boom, the 1-2. He got the 1-2-3.
Yeah.
And I got to say it, man. Kyle O'Reilly and Red Dragon made their way out. And for the fourth week in a row, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, how were they seen on TV? Chasing Red Dragon to the ring.
Get back here, boys.
My God, man. I just think that that kind of ran its course. Then following that,
Else has run its course? Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus' title reign.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. That would have worked. My mute button worked.
And I think when we're talking about where we're previewing next week, I kind of agree with you, buddy. But that being said, Hangman also followed his way out there after. And I actually liked what Hangman did. He walked up and bitch slapped Adam Cole right in the face. And it worked pretty well setting up their match for next week. So we know every title will be defended next week in AEW. So,
bro, they should swap the main events of Rampage and Dynamite next week. That way we can get Kyle O'Reilly or Bobby Fish saying that they're going to be like a meteor and make Luchasaurus go extinct.
God damn it. But I'd be happy if they did.
That's going to be fun, by the way, getting Adam Cole and Adam Page in that pre-match promo. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty good. And I just got to say, man, this was fun. This is a great opener to the show.
Absolutely. And then they continued to follow it up with an even better segment. Well, not even necessarily even better, but it continued the pace of, and I will say the pace of the show itself felt like it was just nonstop on this episode of Dynamite. Like,
I love when it feels like that. So, yeah, following that, which I got to say, man, Hangman Page just kind of feels on another level right now. So
it really does. He is quite literally on a different level. Right? For a while, I was questioning it, but like he really is just above everybody else right now. It's kind of crazy.
Like, he feels like the world champ in a great way, and I love it.
And I'm not trying to – and Kenny is phenomenal. And I think maybe at the beginning of his run, he felt the same way maybe, but there's just something about – I understand what Tony Khan saw. Now, not that I didn't. I just didn't know, like, as like even everybody else was saying, like, I don't know, is this the guy you want representing your brand? And then there was all the, you know, all the jokes about Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy main eventing a show. You know what I mean? Like, because of the size.
That lights out match. Yeah.
And I mean, I saw the graphics too, guys. I get it. They look small. But, like, you know, this is AEW. It's not WWE. You know, like, you're not going to – it's not the land of the giants. You know, like –
And that brings us into our next match, which we had Samoa Joe versus Max Caster for the Owen Hart Cup qualifying match, our first of the males.
Shout outs to Max Caster, just giving absolutely no reprieve to anybody. He has holding nothing back. Like,
this was just another classic intro for him, man. Talking about he was their champ when we beat him in the ratings. Like, oh my God.
The one that got me was... I'm sending you home, this whatever the hell, Joe, you're injury prone. I was like, bruh.
Just fucking lethal. We'll get into that. And
Jay Lethal joins the Acclaimed question mark.
This was another good match. This was quicker, and I'm okay that it was quicker. It didn't need to be, you know, a super long match, because this was Samoa Joe's debut in AEW, plus knowing what we had at the end of the night, we knew it was coming. So Joe actually ends up winning with the Muscle Buster. Any other comments on this match before we get into what happens
after? First of all, shout outs to the Muscle Buster. Dangerous move, apparently. At least that's what WWE thought. I mean, who was it that got hurt off of it? I can't remember.
It retired. But... TJ Wilson? Is that his name?
Oh, that's right. I forgot. That's right.
Tyson Kidd, wrestling name.
Exactly. Yeah, I forgot that that's what happened to him. But anyway, But, you know, I mean, at the same time, you know, it's, you know, that could have happened to anybody, as anybody that's a wrestler would probably say, you know. It's great setup for next week. I like that we're not just, it feels fitting that Samoa Joe and Jay Lethal are starting things off as the first real feuds for each other in AEW. It just makes sense, you know, especially given their history, you know. And I didn't realize Jay Lethal was trained by Samoa Joe. I didn't know that. Like,
I didn't either, and that adds such a nice little touch to this, man.
That's a crazy detail. That, I mean, it makes sense, especially if you consider their history. But it's like it's wild to think that, and there's history there. I'm really interested to see where they go with that. I would not be shocked if Samoa Joe was one of the next people to join the Blackpool Combat Club.
Okay, that I could see that being the fifth member. So their first two members are two mm-hmm. kind of younger guys, and then the last Absolutely. One is a Joe, is a Cesaro, is a you name it.
Ooh, and Cesaro.
So Sanjay Dutt and Jay Lethal, they're on the Tron, man. They're challenging him, and shout out Sanjay Dutt.
I know. If Sanjay Dutt is now All Elite, I love it. You know what I mean? Like,
and this was a fun little spot for him. And I'm cool if he's Lethal's manager. Which there's another manager on Rampage, and I cannot wait to talk about because we haven't even talked about it yet.
Absolutely.
Back from the break, we got Danielson, Mox, and Regal. They're backstage, and Regal says he's quote off his nut with excitement because this Friday his boys are in matches. Yeah. Moxley's the hardest man to impress. And he says on Friday, we'll hear the sounds of bone crackling like thunder and a ring full of blood. How is John Moxley not the most metal man alive?
He predicted that shit, man. Like,
he did, dude. And fuck's sake. It was so good. Sean Spears with MJF versus Sean Dean. This is kind of continuing the MJF Wardlow feud. And the match is kind of going, Spears kicking his ass. Wardlow is beating the shit out of security. I wish this was the first time we saw Wardlow because this was fucking great. This felt super intimidating. I wish we didn't see him last week.
Yeah.
And
I hate that I was right that we're going to see this like every week too until he comes back. It's like, it's like, why even send him away then? Like, why not just ban him from ringside or something? I don't know.
MJF was hilarious on commentary.
Oh, yeah.
And Sean Dean rolls up Spears and gets the win, Garrett. Sean Dean beats the Pinnacle, confirmed.
The Sean Dean arc has begun. Carly Bravo and him for tag champion. No, I'm just kidding.
Bring him in, bro. Let's get it rolling.
Carly, what is their team called? I can't even remember. But
I forget.
Something military reference. But anyway,
so we then head backstage where we see Ring of Honor Pure Champion Wheeler Yuta, and he's with the best friends again. And this is kind of just, I think, the
I remember, like, I was watching this. So, guys, sometimes what will happen is, like, we won't watch stuff together. Like, we usually don't, actually. But I just so happened to be talking to you and one of our other friends when you had just finished watching Dynamite together. So I threw it on and just started, like, telling you random things as they popped up. I mean, this is one of those things that just my brain immediately just was like, what? This doesn't make sense.
They, like, why are they back together?
They kicked him out last week. Why is he talking to them? In the segment, I guess it makes sense continuity-wise. Yes.
So,
but it just, it felt jarring.
Chuck wants, you know, he says he wants Yuta to be the best wrestler and he wants him to be with them. And Trent says he doesn't like him and he's a scumbag. And then Trent asks Yuta if he remembers when Danielson beat him. And he's going to show him to take notes because what he's going to do to him. I think this is setting up really Yuta's first match in the Blackpool Combat Club will be against Trent. And it's going to be fun.
It's crazy because they were setting up this on BTE like 4 months ago or something. Like,
absolutely.
Absolutely insane. Like, when Trent was first coming back, they started planting the seeds for this on BTE. And I was like, you know, sometimes on BTE, something never goes anywhere, at least on TV, you know? But sometimes it does. And you got to pay attention to that stuff, guys. Like, you just never know. Like,
Sammy Guevara is now with Tay Conti doing the cue cards. Yeah. I got nothing to note from that shit.
I didn't pay attention to them. I literally skipped.
Back from the break, TBS champion, Jay Cargill makes his way to the entrance along with Mark Sterling. And they meet Tony Schiavone. Cut the shit.
Somebody!
And Jade said she's formally there to introduce her baddie section. Thank you, Jade.
Yes.
Jade says she goes into what a baddie is. Mark says it was difficult finding good-looking people in Boston. and the person not allowed in the baddie section is Marina Shafir. Which I think this is pretty much all just setting up that Marina Shafir will be the one challenging for the TBS title next week because every title is on the line. Pretty sweet. Other than that, we then head to MJF. He's backstage, calls Wardlow a scumbag, and challenges Sean Dean to a match. And we head back to the ring for our next match, which we had the Butcher and the Blade versus the Hardys in a table match. So, this was AEW table rules. Jeff was eliminated way too fucking early. Jeff hit a big spot at the end that was pretty cool. I mean, this match was pretty sloppy for the most part. It accomplished its job after the match, but Jeff ended up getting his Swanton bomb through the Blade. It big, you know, he got the big spot that's going to go on all the highlight reels when they're hyping him up for, I'm assuming it's going to be the Hardys and Private Party at Double or Nothing still.
Yeah, I would think, unless the I can't think of what else they would do. Yeah, they haven't built anything else, so
I'm just assuming that's still going to be it.
Unless they start them on something now, like Jeff starts with Darby or Matt starts with something like that. You know what I mean? Like whoever does with whatever. Everyone else seems kind of booked up on other stuff right now, so we'll see. But you know, I mean, yeah, the Jeff losing his balance is just like it sucks. Like I hope he's okay. Hope he didn't, you know,
exactly
too hard of a bump on that one. He always got so many of those when he's not expecting them bumps in his career.
It was pretty cool. He had a little video on Twitter with his brother, and they went to eat sushi after. And Jeff was still in his fucking paint. It's pretty cool. This is setting up after the match with Andrade, Jose, and Private Party with the bunny coming down there, which then Sting comes out there. So it's just kind of setting that up. I thought it was kind of funny. Andrade using the bunny as his protector.
exactly. Hey, who wants to mess with the bunny, dude? I wouldn't.
Hey, true.
She might beat me up, bro.
And we then go backstage where Christian Cage is irritated, and he walks out on Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. I wonder if there's going to be more to that. We'll see.
I think the way I took it. No, this is just the way I took it. He was kind of like he was sick of them like just leaning on them for promos, and he just said, "You know what? Figure it out."
And that's a good way to look at it. I'm down if that's the way. So, Garrett, they've been chasing him for 4 weeks in a row. So they say the rankings don't matter. No, they don't exactly say that. But they challenge Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish to a championship next week.
They were like, hey, you're only ranked three in the rankings, but...
it's like,
Tony, this is what happens when you don't use members of your roster on Dark. I'm sorry to break it to you.
Tony, cut the shit. And it's, this has been awful. I'm straight up. Our babyface champions have been chasing the heels to the ring every week, and it's awful. This title reign has gone sour in my mouth. I've been commenting on it every week, and I hope they lose them. I would have thrown it to the Acclaimed on a random Rampage, but maybe this is just better. Maybe just throw it on Red Dragon.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, potentially. Yeah, and then you could set up Red Dragon versus Bucks. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you want to do with that. Hikaru Shida versus Julia Hart for an Owen Hart Cup qualifying match. Julia shushes off Pillman and Griff. This match is, I mean, there's a long commercial break through it. Hikaru Shida's just kind of in control, it feels like, the entire time. She's doing her best to make it look good. She hits a couple pretty cool spots. The running bulldog. And then
Shida's good. Julia Hart just, I don't know, man. Just doesn't.
She's a little raw in the ring still. And
what it is? And I don't know. She just doesn't move the needle for me, man. And I hate to have to use that phrasing, but it's the case. You know, like.
Yeah, and it feels like they're trying to do Alexa Bliss's character with her now. And I believe she's even hitting Alexa Bliss's finisher. So, And the Falcon Arrow was beautiful. After the match, Serena rushes down with a steel chair in hand. And yeah, I mean, I believe they're setting up Serena maybe next week. I think we're going to get this match within the tournament, right?
Yeah, I would. Well, maybe. That'll be actually good. If we do, though, I kind of want them to be in separate brackets. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, we'll see how that works. If it looks like the way it's going right now, which after we talk about the Rampage match, we'll give a rundown of what the tournament is so far. But the way it looks right now, they're going to be in separate brackets. So.
Yeah, I mean, okay, if they can be the finals, great.
It could be the
phenomenal
final,
finals. And you could even, like, I feel like that's a finals match you could change the stipulation on because of the
feud. And you could have some fun with it.
And you'd be like, well, we initially just planned this to be a normal match with the Owen, but given the history of the feud between these two, we wanted to add a little bit of, you know what I mean, like something like that. They could do that.
And a little bit like something match.
Some people would be like, that's disrespectful to the tournament. I'd be like, fuck you, dude. Wrestling.
I think this tournament, I'm loving it, man. I love having matches that have meaning. And
exactly.
The tournament gives us that. We cut backstage where we see Swerve. Swerve's talking about his time at the Grammys. I'm glad they touched that.
Dude. Swerve just hanging out at the Grammys.
Yep, for his work on the Donda album. So pretty cool. And we then cut to the interview's over, and Will Hobbs and Ricky Starks jump him. And this is a fucking great backstage fight. This is a great backstage fight. Garrett, did I miss the backstage fight earlier? Is that on Rampage? I don't have it in my notes. There was a Jericho Appreciation Society backstage
fight. Yep. Eddie and Proud and Powerful jumped him.
So that also happened. I don't have it in the notes here, but that was a great backstage fight earlier in the night. And then we get to this one. And oh my God, man, this, he put him through a wall and setting up a tag match for next week.
Cool. Because yeah, I want to say Eddie and them beat him up, and then they're beating them up backstage, and the three of them come out to the ring and cut like a little promo, I want to say.
Yeah, and I guess I just didn't have that in the notes here, but that was a pretty cool
angle. Because they chased them off in a vehicle, and then they go out to the ring, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. It might have been those two segments might have been separated, but I have them as one thing in my notes, so I don't know. But they called him out for a match of some kind,
which we'll get next week, which is pretty sweet. And then we had our main event, so Dynamite flew by to me, dude. This was just
stacked show.
This is stacked. The matches were good. I feel like every match had meaning in one way or another, and we're gonna get that now with these qualifying matches. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just absolutely, you know, in a thumbs up, thumbs down world for me, it's a massive thumbs up. I mean, like,
I agree. Thumbs up here too.
You can't ask for more from an episode of Dynamite, you know. Well, you can, but you know, then you're just being an asshole. Anyway,
when you're bookended like that, plus you got stuff in between, I'll take it all day. And speaking of bookending it, we go to Rampage now. Brian Danielson defeats Trent Barrett in the opening match. This was fun, dude. Trent Barretta, welcome back, dude. I mean, ever since this guy's come back, he's been on fire, having good matches left and right.
So, like, within 3 minutes of this match starting, we had two attempted, like, topes, which were both countered, which I thought was incredible. I gotta say, I'm just gonna read verbatim what I put in my notes for this, because I just wrote something really cool, I think. I love Danielson's style since he's come to AEW, and it titanically clashed with the hard-hitting New Japan style that Trent brings, and I just thought that was a really unique combination, because Danielson doesn't wrestle a New Japan style. You can tell me that he wrestles a Japanese style. He doesn't. He wrestles an American style of Japanese inspired, maybe, but you can't say that it's really, because if you put him against a lot of the New Japan hard-hitting people, I'll give you a perfect example. When he fought Minoru Suzuki, Suzuki felt fresh against him because he didn't wrestle like everybody else in America wrestles. But he could also match the hard-hitting style of what Danielson was doing, because that's just what he does over in New Japan, you know? So I felt like this was a very unique mix of styles that on paper it sounds great, but it's not always, you know, we've talked about this, it doesn't always transfer even when it sounds amazing on paper. This is one of those examples where it sounds great on paper, it looks great in the ring, and once you actually realize what you have in the mix of the styles, it should be on like multiple times this year, if not multiple times over the next couple of years, because it's just that crazy of a match. You could do so much variation on this. I mean, I think we saw every variation of suplex in this match. It was crazy, you know, like...
It was, and after Danielson hit the gotch style pile driver, he kicks in his head, and then we get the inverted lapel lock. And dude, just such a fun finish. Such a good match. I mean, you put it best. It was just such a good match. And I believe it kind of just enhances more on what we're feeling of Barretta's return. And why I think...
I'm telling you, there is a singles run in Trent Barretta right now. He wants it, and he's trying to will it into existence. And I don't blame him, because it looks like it'll be incredible.
AWOG, dude. We have Lexi and Air backstage trying to interview Hook, who's just eating chips, and he goes to throw them out, and Danhausen's in the trash can. He eats the chips, and just setting up Danhausen and Hook, or I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing.
But they're setting up Danhausen and Hook at the pay-per-view, and it makes me want to just...
Okay. If that is the plan, I'm cool with Hook on pay-per-view, I'll say that. I still think Hook's in this tournament. I gotta think... If Hook's on pay-per-view, it's because he's in this tournament in the
final. I hope Tony Khan is wise enough to not put himself in the same issue that he put himself with Jade. with no. that tournament. Like, I'm sorry, we got to stop booking undefeated people in tournaments. It's a bad look.
Like, well, I think what happens is there's just so many new people, so they haven't lost before.
I'm gonna tell you why it's a bad look, man. Because if they don't win, then you've just ruined their push. I mean, it's not going to ruin it. Yeah, but it's like, why are you building them up undefeated if you're just going to put them in a tournament to lose? Okay, so now they have to win the tournament. Anybody else that stands out in that tournament now, you got a problem. And that always happens. So it's like, because that's what a tournament basically is a proving ground, you know? So it's like,
yeah, just give us an idea of what's going on here. And yeah, so
I would rather see Hook just have a match with him, one off at the pay-per-view. As much as I don't want to see that match at the pay-per-view, I'd rather them one off it at the pay-per-view, and then they can move on, and hopefully Hook doesn't get diminished by being associated with Danhausen. And that's not a knock on Danhausen. I just think Hook's too serious of a character to be putting with the silly comedy guy, you know, like.
Yeah, I think as of right now, it's clearly to get them both on TV, right? So, yeah.
I hope so, anyway. I hope it's like some kind of weird pseudo feud that they keep building like they did with QT, like.
Yeah. So, Scorpio Sky's out in the ring. He's quickly interrupted by Sammy. There's a lot of talk about here how Ethan Page doesn't want his daughter.
Get this off of my screen, please.
What have they done with this, man? This is so fucking bad. This is starting. I feel like Sammy's going to be getting go away heat fast. And he's the babyface in this
field. Going to be getting?
Well, we haven't felt it from the live crowd yet. I think we might start feeling it next week.
He was getting booed out of the building on Rampage. What are you talking about?
I guess it just didn't really feel like it. Like, I don't know. I feel like they're still a little mixed right now for no reason. Where I think this is going to turn.
That's because the AEW crowd are animals and you know it.
It's going to turn. It's going to turn fast. And yeah, this is awful. Scorpio's title reign is being shit on by this. He should be wrestling matches, not this shit.
Nah, you know what it is? It's because the crowd actually wants to be the ones to say that they banged somebody in a championship title.
There you go.
And they can't. So Sammy's their fucking. I'm just
kidding. And then we got Jericho Sports Entertainer of the Week is QT Marshall. Speaking of QT Marshall, Swerve Strickland defeats him.
Should we really be doing the wrestler, the Sports Entertainer of the Week if Jericho's not on commentary? Question mark.
Yeah, right. I don't know. They're doing.
I don't know, buddy.
And this was a quicker match, but this was fun, man. These guys had some good chemistry. Strickland's fucking finisher is so good, dude. I mean, it's so good.
He's just great. He's a genetic freak is something I wrote in my notes.
Yeah.
It's unreal. He flips like Mysterio, but he's the size of a light heavyweight.
And that's what makes him such a star.
And Ricky ain't playing around.
No, Ricky was great on commentary, and then after the match, calling out the tag match for next week on Dynamite.
Why isn't he cutting promos every week, man? He is so good on the mic. Like,
he really is.
How do they underuse Ricky Starks' ability to speak? I don't get it. Like,
yeah, and hey, man, it's all setting up hopefully a great match next week. I think this could be one of our bookends next week, and it could be great.
I hope so. It'd be incredible.
So, yeah, Squash is setting up something bigger. A quick Marina Shafir promo. And then that takes us into our Owen Hart Foundation Tournament qualifying match, which we had Red Velvet defeating Willow Nightingale. To me, Garrett, the star of this match was Willow again.
Yes. I didn't expect them to give Willow as much in this match. The way they normally treat Willow on AEW is not like a star, you know, generally.
Because she's not signed, right? So I'm like, what are they going to do with her? And I knew she wouldn't win because she's not signed. And that unfortunately, that was the part that hurt.
Yeah.
That being said, her charisma shined. The crowd was into her. Red Velvet actually got some pretty heavy boos after that finish. It was not the best finish. It was a little sloppy, but it's okay. The match itself was good, but yeah, man, like you said, is Red Velvet the... She wasn't intended on being a heel, but now it feels like she is. I don't even know.
Yeah, doesn't it kind of feel like that's why they yanked that episode, or yanked that for the dark this week? Like, they were like, well, we don't really want to turn her heel, but we also don't want to turn... We don't want to have, like, Willow take a loss like that, and then, like... You know, because they knew how the crowd was going to react after seeing Willow on Ring of Honor. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know.
Yeah, it created something.
They did everything, though. Like, they hit all of their offense in this match. It was incredible. Like, I didn't expect – I saw stuff from Will I hadn't seen before, you know, like which isn't to say that I hadn't expected to see anything. Like, I'm saying, like, I just didn't expect them to do that with, like you said, an unsigned talent. You know, usually they only do that if they're about to sign somebody a lot of times, you know. But I don't think that's probably the case here, unfortunately. If anything, I think it's more likely that she gets signed to another Ring of Honor deal, you know. But I don't know. We'll have to see where that goes.
Yeah, we're going to see where it plays out. And so let's give a quick rundown of the Owen Hart Cup tourney right now for the women's, because we're about halfway through the qualifying matches. So we had the Bunny getting defeated by Toni Storm. We had Jamie Hayter defeat Sky Blue. We had Hikaru Shida defeat Julia Hart. And we had Red Velvet defeat Willow Nightingale. So from what we're to see, that was the first bracket, which means our quarterfinals then would be Toni Storm facing Jamie Hayter and Hikaru Shida facing Red Velvet. Whew. Count me in. And honestly, you could do two things there. You could have Toni Storm win this side and have her, you know, have her pay-per-view debut at Double or Nothing.
Yep.
Or you can do the Hikaru Shida thing and have her and Serena Deeb be the final, which I kind of hope they do right now.
Yeah, it'd be kind of crazy. It's so crazy. This is going to be such a long build, too, since we're getting to...
From March 30th brackets. To May 29th.
Whew, it's going to be fun.
I love it, man. I really love it. And so, yeah, during the match, Excalibur's running down the matches, and that's when we finally get the announcement. Samoa Joe versus Minoru Suzuki for the ROH TV title on Dynamite Wednesday. Oh, my fucking God.
I mean...
They're going to beat the living shit out. This is going to be so... The crowd is going to be so loud as soon as the bell rings. I can't wait.
Samoa Joe might actually get murdered in the ring. I think...
And Minoru Suzuki might actually get murdered in the ring.
Yeah, it's going to be a bloodbath. Like, it's...
Oh, geez.
There might actually be blood. Like, this is going to be... If you thought, like, Danielson versus Suzuki was hard-hitting...
Yeah. So... I fully expect this to be just some fun, which then we cut to Lexi Nair again. She's interviewing Tony Nese, but this time he was interrupted by Smart Mark Sterling, who offered Nese representation.
I love this.
I love the idea of Sterling doing the talking for Nese.
Plus, that means we're going to see Tony Nese probably on TV more. Like,
and this should get him in the tournament, correct? At a bare minimum. This should get him a qualifying match, and hopefully he gets in the tournament.
I mean, there's precedent for that, right? That's how Jade won her championship, was via a tournament. So maybe he's got pull with stuff with, like, tournament. I don't know. Like, there's something you could do there. Like,
you could do something here. And yeah, man, give me more Tony Nese, dude.
Please. I mean, it's like we know that Tony knows how good pronouns, pal, that Tony Nese is that you saw how many matches he gave him initially when he first signed him. So you know he knows what he has. This is now he's giving him something to do, which I'm glad, because Tony Nese is we've talked about, he was like the king of 205 Live for like a couple of years there. Like, in terms of, like, you could just put him against literally anybody on the roster and it was going to be incredible. Like, and it's still the case. So I think this is great for him. And, I actually think it's actually going to be good for Mark Sterling long-term as well.
Yep. He should have clients in both divisions. Agreed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. Thumbs up, thumbs down world. This is a giant thumbs up for me. And because the main event was
this was one of the best episodes of Rampage in months. Like, it just flowed so nicely. Like,
it did,
all the matches felt nice. It was a four match Rampage, and we talk about four match Rampages kind of usually being a little bit off, you know. Like, this didn't feel like,
when our only match that doesn't have stakes is as quick and as solid as Swerve versus QT, I'm fucking down every day of the week.
Yeah, was that match even, like, was it announced? Like, I
believe they announced it Wednesday. They've been getting a lot better at announcing.
It didn't stick in my head, though, so that tells you, like, I wasn't, like, that, like, excited for it. But it's, like, at the same time, like, it still felt like it mattered. Like, it wasn't just a random match, you know? It was like, oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's real quick preview next week. So every title will be on the line. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
So far announced, we have three. We have the AEW Tag Team Champions, Jurassic Express. They defend against Red Dragon.
Okay.
We have Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz versus the Jericho Appreciation Society.
That's going to be fun.
ROH TV Champion Minoru Suzuki defends against Samoa Joe.
Huh.
Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee versus Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks. MJF versus Sean Dean. That's kind of our throwaway, right?
Yeah, literally, that's going to be in the middle. That's going to be between. That's like your Wardlow versus CIA, or not Wardlow versus who? Who did they have Wardlow kill on that episode of? I think it was Beach Break. Maybe
it was literally. It might have been like someone in the factory.
It might have been Sean Dean actually he killed.
And then Battle of the Belts, we have Thunder Rosa versus Nyla Rose. I'm assuming at Battle of the Belts we'll get Scorpio versus Sammy Guevara. And we're the only one not announced is Jade versus Marina Shafir. And Hangman is defending against Adam Cole. So are we going to get the ROH titles in on some of these? I don't know.
I'd like to see my boy Starks get in there on
Rampage. And that's the other one I was going to say. Are we going to see Starks defending at Battle of the Belts, potentially against Swerve or Keith Lee?
Yeah, I don't know. They could figure something out. I'd like to see it.
It'd be pretty sweet. And I think they can make it work.
Hey, I'm just saying, if Ricky Starks eats the pin in that match, whoever pins him might get a shot, is all I'm saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'd like it to be Swerve.
Agreed.
I think it'd be fun right now. And that's not excluding, we're probably going to get qualifying matches in both divisions next week, so.
Absolutely.
Awesome stuff. Garrett, hell of a week. We got a hell of a week coming up.
Yep.
And yeah, so
I'm excited to talk about next week already, which
I am too, man.
See what it's gonna be yet. So like, if that doesn't tell you guys what this next week of wrestling is about to be, like, you know, Mania week can be kind of hit or miss. That's why we built it up. This is gonna be like an actually crazy week of wrestling.
This is gonna be great. And we had the CM Punk tweet, who he's open to wrestling anyone, and maybe Jonathan.
Yeah,
Gresham
we didn't even mention that.
So,
and we got Jonathan Gresham responding, so we'll have to see if Tony Khan, you know, makes that official or anything like that. So
I'm so fucking down.
I mean, like, but, you just can't, like, you can't. If we actually, on top of everything that we're already getting on Wednesday, get Gresham versus Punk as well, I mean,
I call the police. I'm in.
Exactly. Like, it's gonna be a wild week of wrestling, everybody. Just strap in. That's all I'm gonna say.
Strap in and make sure you check out the fucking pod next week, baby.
Exactly. Woo! All right. Bury Sammy.